Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Thousands upon thousands of generation to generation that are going to come into this building and receive the good news of Jesus Christ. So come on, one more time. Let's just honor and thank our pastors here today. Love you guys. Thanks for having me. Well, I'm excited about this theme that we're in, rule and reign. You know, I love that Pastor Gray launched the theme last week, and I get to continue today, week two. As a church across the world, we're at City Point, we are actually going through the same theme together. So even though I wasn't maybe here in this particular building, I was in our Brisbane location, I love that we're actually on the same journey as a church. For the month of July and August, can I just encourage you, don't miss a Sunday. This theme is so powerful. Every preacher that comes and shares a word into rule and reign, you're going to be blessed. So the heart of this theme, as Pastor Gray would have explained last week, is that we're actually learning what the kingdom of God is. We're actually understanding what does it mean to actually know the kingdom and actually live with the kingdom of God, even here on earth. Because sometimes we look at the Lord and God and the heavenlies and think, that's a whole nother land, that's a whole nother kingdom. But do you know that you and I have been empowered by the goodness of God to actually outwork the kingdom of God right here, right now? We don't have to wait till we die and then get to live in heavenly places. No, you have all authority. God lives and breathes inside of every single one of us that in every single day, not just on a Sunday, our Monday, that Tuesday when you're having that fun conversation with your boss who can be a bit annoying, or maybe you're dealing with an issue on a Thursday, you know, that's an opportunity for you and I to bring the kingdom of God every single day, every place that we are. So I'm excited today to continue this incredible theme, rule and reign. And if you want to turn with me, the key passage for today is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, just as you start to turn there, it's going to be on the screen behind me in a moment. I want to shout out to our entire creative team, because I've kind of given them a preview to this whole preach I'm about to do, because we've just gone through a bit of a journey as a church with our album recording. And I was just saying to Pastor Gray, man, City Point North represented. Like, I've just watched the whole album, and there's like City Point North in every shot. It's like, you can't miss City Point North. And so you guys have got the upper hand up. I've given you a sneak peek of this, but this is round two, and I'm excited. You ready with me, church? You ready to read the Word of God? Do you believe that the Word of God is alive, and it's amen, and it's able to actually impart into our lives today? It's breathing, it's living, it's not dead. It says, if my people, this is the Lord speaking, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've noticed that it's getting a bit chaotic in the world right now. Like this whole pandemic, government, politics, new legislation being approved of abortion and gender identity being like a clear target. Like we're in a bit of a crazy time. Racism, like there's a lot of things happening at the same time right now. I would say that more than ever do we need the Lord to come and heal our land right now. I would say more than ever, we actually, as the church, we actually need a manifestation of God. Not just we'd want one or it'd be great for God to manifest himself. No. This world actually needs a manifestation of the Lord right now. Without the Lord manifesting, has anyone noticed it's not looking too great in some places? There's some sectors of society that are looking a bit dry, but they need a manifestation of God. And that's only going to take place through you and I actually outworking the plans of God. And so today I want to speak into this passage. I've got a few points I want to encourage us with today that you'd be edified today. You'll walk out of this place encouraged in your journey with the Lord of some key ingredients, how we can actually play our part to see a manifestation of the Lord take place in our lives. Anyone keen for that? Is anyone keen for a manifestation of the Lord in our lives? And so this passage, I know a lot of us may know this. Maybe your great-grandma had this passage on her bathroom door. I'm sure a lot of us could quote it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm going to forgive your sin. I'm going to heal your land. Like a lot of us know, it's quite a famous passage, right? But what's interesting to me is the amount of people that actually don't know the context of this amazing scripture and why it's so known in the church. I'll just give you a bit of background because knowledge is power. So first of all, this is actually the Lord speaking to King Solomon. Now, everyone knows the Psalms. Pastor Gray just read a Psalm. We know Psalms is written by King David, and Solomon was actually King David's son, so quite a mantle. The Lord actually anointed Solomon to be the third ever king of Israel. Now, what happens is Solomon, it's a long story, was gifted all this wisdom, and so what he decides to do with his wisdom is he builds this magnificent temple. Now, if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 7 or chapter 1 through to 7, it talks about the... It's kind of similar to this beautiful building we're in, to be honest. Like the amount of detail that's gone into it, like the gold pavement, the pillars, the door handles, every little intricate detail that Solomon spent time on making sure this temple, which was built for no other reason other to be a place where burnt sacrifices would be made up to the Lord, that he was would be able to dwell in this place. And it's just like this house, right? We've built this church for no other reason than it to be a house of praise, a house where God would actually dwell, a house that actually would be available for the Spirit of God to move week in, week out, day in, night out, right? And so Solomon builds this beautiful temple for the Lord. And what he does is he sends his elders into Jerusalem and he says to them, go bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant in from Zion. And when they bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and they place it right in the inner sanctuary known as the Most High Place. And as Solomon and the elders did that, as they stood back, the people, you and I, the believers started to sing, for he is God, he is good, and his love endures forever. And we sing that song, right? We sing it in church. For you are God, you are good. It's from 2 Chronicles. But what's amazing is as they step back and as they sing this and as the Ark of the Lord's Covenant's there and burnt sacrifices are made for the Lord as a sweet fragrance, what happens? The Lord manifests himself in the temple physically. Physically as a dark cloud, the Bible tells us. And so all of a sudden, ever had church and all of a sudden it's getting a bit crazy? Like, things are good at first, music feels good, people saying hi, we're having a good coffee, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, is God in the room? Something's shifted. Okay, I actually can sense the tangible presence of another being. And whether you're an atheist, whether you're a believer, it's undeniable when the presence of God is in the place. You know, you can't be in the company of Jesus and not have something take place. People were in the company of Jesus, they were healed, they were given food, they were given vision. You know, so when we come in the company of the Spirit of God, all of a sudden, there's an alteration, there's something that shifts. And so what happens is, the Bible tells us, just like you and I, they were in the temple, they were dwelling together as people, pressing into God, and all of a sudden the Lord appeared in a form of a cloud. And then the Bible tells us they didn't even know what to do with the service. It's kind of like when Rach comes up, it's like, well, what am I even doing? Well, it's offering, what's the announcement? What am I meant to say? Well, hi, welcome, that's what I was meant to say, yeah. That's basically exactly what happened in the passage. It says that they didn't know how to continue on with the service. And so Solomon, being a great leader, as he would, he goes, I got an idea. Let's pray. We don't even know what to do. And they couldn't continue on with the formalities of that service. Let's read actually together. This is the part that we're up to here. Verse 1, it says here, when Solomon finished praying, fire now came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord that filled the temple. So we'll just pause there for a moment. So firstly, the Lord appears in the form of a dark cloud. Then all of a sudden, Solomon's like, we don't know what to do. Is it offering time? We don't know how to continue on with the service. Let's just pray for God to move. Then he goes, okay, cool. You thought the cloud was cool. Now I'm going to bring fire from heaven onto your building, onto the temple. And now to the point that the magnitude of the presence of God is so strong, people can't even get into the building now anymore. So it's kind of getting impractical. We don't really want that. We want, obviously, people to better come into church. It's like, come on, God, just tone it out a bit. We want people to come in. But the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord that filled it. When all of the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement, their faces on the ground, and they worshipped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying once again the same thing, he is good and his love endures forever. Other versions say his steadfast love endures forever. Now, we'll just fast forward a bit. So that's a pretty good Sunday. You'd call that that's a good service. You know, ever had a good day? Like, hey, I didn't get to make it to church. How was it? Yeah. He actually appeared in a cloud. It was a pretty good one. You missed it. Oh, how was Pastor Gray's preaching? Yeah, pretty good. It was actually so intense. He didn't even know how to get to the message. Like, the glory of the Lord was so there. Like, we just end up praying. Oh, wow, that's a good Sunday. Yeah, oh, no, and then fire actually came from heaven, literally, and it actually says all the Israelites or all the people of this region, Caboolture, they actually all saw it, not just us in the temple. So he kind of manifested in, that's a pretty good Sunday. That's a good Monday debrief, right? So it's a pretty good day. It's a pretty good day in the house of God. Then we skip on to verse 14, and now Solomon's back in his palace. He's back in his place, and he's actually thinking, What's just happened, right? And then this is the third manifestation. The Lord actually physically appears to Solomon face to face, and he says these words, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. Now, when understanding the context of that exact passage, what the Lord is saying, after such a move of God in the lead up, I'm like, really? Like, I would expect God to be like, well done, good and faithful servant. That's how you do church, Solomon. You praise me, you exalt me, and I'll manifest. But no, the Lord actually says, yeah, you know what? That was pretty cool. That whole cloud thing was pretty cool, the fire, yeah. But you know what, Solomon? If my people were actually humble themselves, like he's saying there's a whole nother dimension yet to come. If my people would actually pray, if my people would seek my face and actually turn from their wickedness, you know, then I'm actually going to hear from, this is what the Lord says, then I'll hear from heaven. I'm like, was the fire not even hearing from heaven? Let's go. Oh my goodness. And so my message and encouragement to us today is not to talk about how to get the crazy hocus pocus, fire, cloud, like, and all those things are good. If the Lord, he can do whatever he wants. He's God, right? And so if he chooses to manifest in the tangible, all power to him. We are on our faces before him. But I want to talk about a manifestation of God, yes, in the physical, but also in our lives. Like the Lord says, but if you would actually humble yourself, if you would actually pray and turn from your wicked ways, if you would actually seek my face, then the Lord's going to hear from heaven. Then he's going to forgive our sin. Praise God for that. And then he's actually going to, this is the best bit, he's going to heal the land that we live in, right? This is his promise to Solomon. And so today I want to encourage us in this passage of a few things that I believe God wants to speak to us as new believers. We're living in a New Testament, right? Because you might say, Chan, yeah, but that's old school. That's OT. That's 2 Chronicles. But no, I believe that God still wants to move and manifest more than ever. Like he just did in the temple. We're just living in a modern day temple, right? Where in fact, we actually are the temple of the living God now. That's the whole exciting thing. The Spirit of God now dwells in us. And so I want to speak into us today and encourage us of what this could look like in our everyday life. You know, when we see this story in the Solomon, in 2 Chronicles, to be totally transparent, for me, it's probably one of my most favorite passages in the entire Bible in regards to the Lord manifesting mid-worship. That the people chose, and if you study it, they had every reason not to cry out, you are God, you are good, you're loving. They had every reason at that time to be like, help me, save me, where are you? But what they chose to do is actually lay their physical bodies on a physical pavement. Now, church, they didn't have aircon, cool lights, amazing screens and carpet. No, they're like literally on cold cement crying out to God. My encouragement to you and I is like, when did you last get on your knees and actually get on your hands and knees before God because of the magnitude of your awe and wonder for how good he is? Now, I'm not here to say we have to plead for God to move. I'm more talking about a posture of heart that we actually long to do that, that he would never ask us to get on our knees. When was the last time you were literally by your bedside table crying out for God to move in your life, crying out for God to move in your family, crying out for God to move in this city and in this region that we live in, to actually see a manifestation of God? Because that's what's actually interesting to me, that the Lord wants to move. Our God's a good God, right? He wants to work on our behalf, but he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself into our life. He says, no, you have a free will. I give you all authority to choose who is your God. Is money your God? Is business your God? Is your relationships your God? Or am I your God? Am I the first and be all in your life? And so what happens is in this moment, we would probably call, I would say in modern day, we'd probably call that revival. Like if we're like, hey, that church is having fire. Wow, there's glory. We'd call it, you know, we'd be like, if we want revival, modern day Christians would say, we need revival. We need a revivalist, a guest preacher to come in from the other nation, probably set up a tent because that feels cool. And we need like the media to come and we need the music team to be like crazy. Like that's a revival, right? When really after everything they experienced, what did the Lord speak to Solomon about that night? He says, actually, if my people would humble themselves, you know, he's actually talking about repentance. Out of everything the Lord could have spoken to Solomon about what's taking place and why he's able to move in that place, he actually speaks to him about repentance. Now, I don't know about you, I'm sensing anywhere in the world, I believe, not even just in our church, but even across the world, the body of Christ, the church, I believe there's this reawakening for repentance. It's almost a revival of repentance. And I would even say that repentance is the key to revival, right? And so here the Lord is speaking to Solomon saying, Solomon, oh, I so want to move in your temple. And thank you for the burnt sacrifices, the offering lifted up to me. But if you would humble yourself and pray, then don't limit what I could do in this place. In fact, after this passage, we read I think it's verse 15. It's after the passage that many of us know. It says, and then my ears are attentive. Yeah, verse 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers lifted up in this place. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's anyone I want on my side, it's God. If there's anyone that I want his eyes to be attentive on me and his ear inclined towards me, it'd be our great God. Because he actually says, if my people will call by my name, would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways. What does he say? I'll forgive their sin. I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. Verse 15, now my ears and my eyes are attentive to the prayers lifted up in that place. Now, this is a house of prayer, amen? That's what we want this to be, our church, to be a church known as a house of prayer, a house of praise. That when people come in full of circumstances, struggling with crisis in the mind, crisis of finance, crisis even relationally, crisis even physically, sickness, that they'd walk into this place filled with the magnitude and the power of God because the prayers lifted up in this place, and they walk in, they walk out completely transformed. Maybe you're here today, maybe you've been invited today from a friend or a family member, and you're walking and you're like, I don't think I'm right to be in a church. I think I'm a bit too sinful, to be honest. Like, you know that saying, if I walk in, I'll probably get burnt up like fire if I walk in. You know, you don't know how bad of a sinner I am. I'm like, oh, welcome to the party. Welcome to church, actually, where all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have made mistakes. If there's anywhere, actually, you could be, if you're like, no, I'm pretty messed up. Like, if you knew my story, you know, one, I'd love to chat with you after church. It'd be awesome to meet you. We see you as so valuable, and we are so honored you're in our church today, in fact. But I'd love to talk to you a little bit and hear your story, because I'd probably say there's many in this room, whether we like to say it or not, that have been through a similar journey, or even right now are struggling in certain ways. But the only difference is, like we've sung today, we put our hope in Jesus. The only difference is we don't not have issues or have struggles. The only difference is we choose to declare with our mouth that our God's still good, even in the midst of trial, that we believe that even though circumstances might not be looking so great right now, financially, relationally, but our God's the God of breakthrough. He's actually the God that knows how to bring some amazing things together. He's the God of the supernatural. That's why we're here, because we've been saved by a God who loves us even when we don't deserve it. Not when you've got everything all together, not when you've done everything right, not when you don't make a mistake, then he loves you. No, friend, I want to encourage you today. Even in your mess, he's madly in love with you. Out of anywhere you could be, like you could be a lot of other places right now, we're actually so glad you're here in God's house. This is a perfect place to be if you're going through a journey. And so here, when we're talking about a few key elements, if we want to see a move of God or a manifestation of God, I believe through this passage, it's number one is living a humble life and living a life of prayer. What did the Lord say? I'm going to keep repeating this scripture. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and what? And pray. You know, we live in a day where society doesn't even know what humility is. Like, if we could just speak into the young generation right now, it's completely inundated with the social and cognitive dysmorphia that's created through social media. Like, and I won't get into the science, but, and I don't hate social media, by the way. I think God can use every tool. He can use your phone to call someone to bring them to church. He can use a social media ad to get someone to come into a church building or an event or a life group, right? So I'm not anti-social media, but for people that don't know the Lord and don't have a pure motive of heart, then, man, there's a lot of crazy context happening in our modern-day society that for many generations didn't deal with the social implications. So now we have everyone, you know, putting filters on or trying to show their best face, their almost perfect life. You know, ever seen Instagram, you're like, it's just a reel of perfection. Like, I don't know about you, my son Ace is here today, or he's not here, he's in mum's room, mum's feeding him right now. Praise God. It was his first service in praise and worship today, ever in church. So thank you, church. So cool. And he loved it, by the way. He like was like happy and then he fell straight asleep. So that's a good sign. Creative team are doing really well. The anointing is really here. It's good. I lost what I was saying just then. I just lost everything I was just talking about. Anyway, that's how good the creative team are. I like completely... Social media, thank you. So we live in a day where like everyone's putting their front face forward, right? And they're almost avoiding early beginnings, like avoiding the reality of like, actually, my child doesn't always have that perfect smile. That's just of the 100 photos I took, that's the one he smiled. So I'll put that up, not when he like vomited on me 20 minutes before I got to church and changed my job. You know, we didn't put that stuff up because that's horrific, right? So we live in a day where people are like, oh, what's humility? I only show my I only show my perfect side. I never show my potential weak side. We live in a day that's a fatherless generation. So we've got a generation coming through that haven't even been modeled humility because they're being peer led. They're being led by people of their own age because they don't have a generation of fathers that actually speak into, this is what it looks like to live a great, humble life. And humility is something to see as weakness. In fact, humility is a great strength from the Lord, right? So we have this whole social dilemma right now of what even is humility? How do I even model humility? But Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I know for me when engaging in conversation with people, having meetings, and sometimes I think, you know, sometimes when we have a rough day, like anyone had a day where you're like, whoops, didn't mean that to happen. Like, oh, whoop. Like for me, I'm feeling a bit, let's be honest, church, I'm feeling a little bit like a bit sleep deprived because I've got a little baby who screams like all night long. And I'm like, that's right. You're 4 days old. I can't say like send you to your room yet. Like that's not appropriate. Right. And so naturally when you're tired, you sometimes will like say things or your body's fatigued. Right. But have you ever had those moments where you actually say to someone, hey, you know how I spoke to you like 2 days ago? I felt like I kind of reacted like a bit inappropriately, like a bit out of fatigue. I just want to say I'm so sorry for the way I spoke to you. That was so devaluing. And when I think about the value that you actually have, like the way God has created you, spent time fashioning, designing you, you're an incredible woman or man of God. I'm so sorry for not speaking into actually the reality of who you are with respect and like, imagine if that was part of our everyday conversation. We lived with such a confident humility that we have the ability to say to someone, hey, I actually want to apologize for that. That's actually not okay. That's not how we should live as brothers and sisters in Christ. Imagine if that was our everyday language of the church. Imagine when people come into the church and it's filled with people that live a lifestyle of prayer and humility, that we're so confident in our God that we see everyone through the lens of love. That we don't live with insecurity of, okay, how do I fit in or how am I perceived? No, who cares how we're perceived? Why don't we just get really good at loving people? Why don't we just get really good at speaking the potential and the truth into people's lives that probably craving affirmation, craving actual some truth spoken into their life from the Lord? That's actually what it looks like to see a manifestation of God. Not just loud music, not just amazing preaching. It's actually a contrite spirit. It's actually a purity of heart. That's when the Lord says, oh, my ears are attentive to that house. That's a house that prays. Oh, that's a house that strives after repentance because they know it's going to cause revival to take place in the northern region of Brisbane. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. And what is he going to do? He's going to purify us from all unrighteousness. I thank God that all we have to do is, what does it say? Confess our sin. If we confess our sin, he is what? He's faithful and he's just and he's going to forgive our sin and purify us. Man, can I just encourage you today? The Lord loves purity. He loves actually bringing purity into your heart. Sometimes I think we need to purify ourselves. Ever tried to be like perfect and be like, I need to get holy somehow. I need to be anointed somehow. And I want to be pure. When the Lord's actually saying, no, he's the one who will purify. Give the Holy Spirit his job back today. Take the pressure off yourself. All you need to do is confess your sin. The rest of it's all about him, the scripture. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us of all unrighteousness and purify us. Man, anyone felt like those days you're like, I feel good today. I feel like when I read this scripture, I'm like, that's easy. Is that part of the deal? Is that the deal with God? I just confess and then he purifies me and brings me into righteousness? What a joke. How amazing. How lucky are we, church? Like there's people worshiping other gods, sport idols, music, money, Buddha, whatever, Muslims. No, we don't serve a dead God. We serve a God who's on our side, a God who actually wants you to win, a God that's actually got your best intention at heart. That's the God that we're serving and we're worshiping today. That's the God that you can put your faith in today. That's a God you can put your trust and your hope in today, who's never going to let you down, but he wants to purify us to see a manifestation of God take place here today. I love what Pastor Mark, our senior pastor, says when he talks about sin. He says, for many people, when we talk about sin, we think about good or bad. Like if you do a sin, you're bad. If you don't sin, you're good. But really, I love how Pastor Mark says this. He says, but when you look through sin through the filter of God, he doesn't see it through good or bad, but rather life and death. Because if those who choose to live a sinful lifestyle, you're going to find a lot of death things take place around your life. But if you choose to live in holiness and righteousness and humility of heart and confession of sin, you actually are full of life. And so when I think about sinning, what's sin, what's not, rather than think, is it good, bad thing? Actually, is that going to bring me death or is that going to bring life to my life? Right? And so for us today, don't be afraid to confess your sin. If we could be a church, if we could be the body of Christ in 2021 who gets really, really good at confessing our sin, man, you watch a move of God around your life. You watch the ability of him to say, oh, so when I'm weak, that's when he is made strong, right? That's when he has the ability to come in because you say, oh, I've got no pride. I've got nothing to hide. I have nothing to pretend to be perfect. You know those Sunday Christians? You know, you see them Monday to Thursday, you're like, oh, you're going all right? Oh, geez. Oh my gosh. But on Sunday, they're like, how are you, brother? God bless you. You reading 2 Chronicles? I can't get out of that book. Love it. Been in it all week. Your wife? Yeah, she's perfect. How the kids? They never cry. You're like, hang on a sec. Who's this complete liar? This makes no sense. That's not a Christian. Actually, the Christian's the one that says, it's been a bit of a doozy, but man, my God's good. Oh, yeah, I made a few mistakes, you know, but thank goodness for the grace of God. Aren't you glad he gives us a second chance? So I've been made whole, so I'm feeling great. The person that comes into church thinking, not how do I put on face, but rather, Holy Spirit, speak to me today. I'm coming into your dwelling place. I know that in advance that there is going to be praises lifted up and your magnitude of your glory is going to be known here. Give me eyes to see the one today. Give me eyes to see the person. Maybe it's just on the greeting. Maybe it's on the QR code check-in. Maybe it's outside with, you know, wherever it is that you choose to serve in this house and play your part in building the building of the Lord. You basically have the opportunity today to either walk in step with the Holy Spirit or just do church or just rock up to a service. Wouldn't you way rather be actually walking in a move of God every step you take? This isn't just a Sunday. This is actually a move of God. This is actually a step in someone's life that they're actually going from not following the Lord to confessing in sin and following the Lord. And we get to be a part of that today. Imagine if we had eyes to see beyond, I know the masks look a bit funny, but imagine if we had eyes to see beyond the mask today and go, Holy Spirit, before I leave this place, just whisper to me, just give me someone in this place that I could edify today. Maybe there's someone I can just bring an encouragement or a word of knowledge to them to really build them up for this week ahead. Because that's not just God's job. No, no. He's given us all kingdom authority. The Spirit of God lives in you and I. Don't wait for God to edify someone. Why don't you play your part? The Spirit of God's in you. So why don't we go, Holy Spirit, use me today. God forbid, God, even give me five people. Maybe give me five people I can build up today. That then when they walk out of this place, they go, thank God I went to church with a fellowship of believers, a family of brothers and sisters that are building each other up in the kingdom of God, that live a humble heart and a purity of heart. So the number one ingredient I would say, if we want to see a move of God, like we said earlier, is actually repentance and prayer. The second ingredient when we read this, it says, if you would, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I want to talk about seeking the face of God today. In a moment, they're going to come and we're going to worship just a little bit more. But I really believe that when the Lord said this, he doesn't make mistakes with his words. When he said this to Solomon of the ingredients to see a move of God that would heal a land, he says, not only pray, not only humble yourself, but seek my face. And what does that mean to seek the face of God? It kind of comes hand in hand with repentance. Does anyone know Mark Verghese, his amazing minister? His wife is actually preaching at the SWB conference, which I encourage every woman in this place, you'd be crazy not to get to this conference. Invest into yourself. You deserve it. You're worthy of being a part of an amazing conference where God can speak into your life and actually use you to build you up. I think women, I'm just going to give SWB a shout out real quick. You women give so much. You pour out, you pour out, you pour out. You raise children, you bleed for your husband. You do so much, right? It's time that you actually get a couple of days to just invest into yourself. 3 nights away. So if you're a husband here, can I encourage you, why don't you register your wife and say, I'll look after the kids. You enjoy 3 hot nights with your girlfriends and go get filled up. Can I just encourage you, men? You're only going to reap the benefits, men. Honestly, she's going to come back only more on fire for God, more aware of who she is, more secure in who she is in God. So it's a sneaky plug for SWB. Make sure you get there. But anyway, long story short, one of the speakers, her husband, Mark Verghese, he spoke to me about this thing on repentance and seeking the face of God. He actually talked about the word repentance, breaking down what it means. The word means to return, right? And in fact, when you study re, it actually means to return on high, to go back. And the word pent means to be with the Father. So even, you know, when we think penthouse on the top level, right? And so when you put together repentance, the actual key ingredients of repentance is literally saying just to return to your Father up on high so that you're in right standing with him. So for us to seek the face of God, I think sometimes in the modern day church, we actually think seeking God can be really like, thank you, God. I'm seeking you. You know, when really, can I just break it down for anyone's like, oh, is it going to get a bit crazy? All the worshipers are going to get, you know, really deep soon. Can I encourage you, like, seeking the face of God is actually really simple. It's actually simply saying, God, less of me, more of you. Take me back to be in right standing with you. I want to be in oneness with you. You know, even intimacy gets a bit of a weird name because often things are polluted in a sexual way, but intimacy was defined and created by God. Like, the whole reason we have intimacy is actually to be in communion with our Father and to actually be in right standing with Him. So for us today, I want to encourage us about seeking the face of God. You know, the word seek actually means to relentlessly pursue. It's actually a bit of a pursuit. I know we know this scripture, run the race with endurance and perseverance, right? But sometimes I think we get perseverance mixed up with preservation. It's like all of a sudden we've got these Christians that are like, oh, I'm running the race, Chardon, and I'm just preserving my own energy. When it's like, oh, no, it wasn't preservation. The scripture actually said run with perseverance, which actually means to keep on, to keep going. So when things are good, what do? We keep pressing into God. But even when things around us, circumstances that we can't control aren't so good, you know what the best thing is to do for your life? It's not to stop attending church or pull out of a serve team. It's actually the perfect time to keep pursuing Jesus, because that's what it means to seek God, literally. If you break down the word seek, it actually means to relentlessly pursue something. And so today I want to encourage us, if we want to see a move of God, like, I don't know about you, but it's no accident that this incredible church is placed in this incredible city. It's no accident that this building, can I just get a show of hands real quick? Who was a part of City Point North in our previous building to this building? Right? Now, the Lord did for years and years so many incredible things in that building, right? And He is God. His church is His church. He doesn't need a building to be the church, right? But it is a place practically to facilitate and house the people of God to come, right? Because otherwise, imagine if we didn't have this, we'd be freezing right now. Let's call it what it is, guys. We'd be so cold right now without shelter, right? So this place is no accident. The Lord, when He created the beginning, He knew that this building, this exact building was going to be built. He knew that the exact you and I were going to be in this church to build a move of God, right? He knew that these songs that were coming out were going to come out at this exact time with Chris and Rach leading a worship movement in this church, that people would get a stirring and a hungering for the things of God. Like none of this is an accident, church. Ever been set up before? Ever been thrown on a double date? You're like, why am I here? Oh my gosh, what a setup. We're completely been set up by God. He's like, hey, out of anywhere you could be living, I placed you right here in this exact year to have the exact relationships, to be in the leadership under Pastor Graham Mell, to be in this church, to be a beacon of light to this city. That people are going to come in so broken. But you know what? Then when they come in, they look around, what do they see? What's the culture of our church? When they come in, are they going to see us a people that are needing affirmation of man or really meek and mild, or not even really pursuing the things of God and just want a cute little one-hour service and have a coffee and have a nice... No. They come into this place and it's the presence of God. They come into this place like, oh, this isn't just... These people aren't just playing a church service. They mean these words they're singing. Oh, this time of prayer when we're praying, oh, they're praying tenaciously on my behalf. Oh, when we're having conversation, it's not just shallow conversation. They actually care about the well-being of my life. What are these people? And you know what we are? We're different. We're different to the world. Not because of who we are, but because the Spirit of God's alive in us, that we genuinely care about people's lives. Like, I want to know how your week was. I want to know what God's doing in your life. I want to know how I can partner with you to actually help you go to the next stage in your walk with, you know, that's what we're called to be, church. That's why we are the church. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We bring life to people who are lifeless, people that are broken. They're coming even here today. I believe, I even see now, there's people here today and you have found restoration in this house. This has been a house where you physically have been restored. Your life has been restored. And I just think of the many multitudes and multitudes of people that are yet to come that are going to inherit this incredible church community. But can I tell you one ingredient we can't long to miss? We can't risk it, is being a church that do not seek the face of God. We might have everything together. We might have the lights, the screens and all that. But if we're not a community that pursue the heart of God above all else, we've missed it, church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to raise my kids in a modern day society where church is just flashy lights, nice conversations, and no lifestyle transformation. I don't want that. I want my kids to grow up in a church where actually you can't help but be transformed by the power of God. It's harder to actually not be transformed than it is actually to be transformed. If the worship team could come up, we're going to sing this song. If your heart's stirring here this morning, could I encourage you today? I pray that it's not just me just saying, I was about to say fancy words. They're not even fancy. They're pretty ordinary, really. But it's not articulate words that's stirring your heart. It's actually the Holy Spirit saying, you could pursue me a little more. This relationship you and I have, like, let's not make this one way where I'm just investing into you and looking upon you and guiding you and being your shepherd and being your friend and being your father. How about you start to pursue me back in relationship? To all the gents in the room, remember that time you first met that girl? Like, you can't not think about her. You're like, do I call her? Do I text her? Do I give it 5 minutes because I look like a stalker? Okay, give it a night. Do I take her on a date? Do I not? How do I... Imagine if all you were thinking, just like that girl, you were consumed with the things of God. You're like, God, I just want to talk to you. I know I'm at work right now and I'm dealing with finance, but man, once it hits 5:30, I can't wait for that drive home and I get to talk to you. I can't wait when I get to have intimate conversation and get to know you better and you can actually get to know me and transform some things. Imagine if that was the heartbeat of our lives. Can I encourage you? That's actually what it just means to be a Christian. That's our everyday normal Christian life. When we say, hey, how you going? Good, good. How you going? Good. Man, God is so good to me. Really? What's going on in your week? Just little things. He just cares about the little things in my life and it's messing me up in all the right ways. Okay, tell me more. That seems way more interesting than my boring, godless life. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I find myself waking up at night and just bawling my eyes out, just feeling full of joy and I can't even explain why. And then I think, is that God? Maybe it's like I go to work and I'm like, that's right. I remember praying to God that I would get a job like this one day. And I just totally didn't realize he actually orchestrated all my little steps. And here I am in the job that I actually feel I'm called to live in. Or maybe it's like, I remember when my high school teacher told me that I'd be a nothing. I would never become anything. And I just realized, hang on a sec. I'm working at a school now. I'm working in primary school. I get the privilege to invest into these future lives of these children who are going to become potential leaders of our nation. Like, flip, God's so good how he's orchestrated. You know that sort of life of gratitude where every moment, not just the big things, not just the big church services or the conferences, I'm talking about the little intricate details where the Lord has your full attention. When you're in your bedroom, when you're in the car and he calls your name out, he says, I've got more for you. Seek my face. Pray. Turn from your wicked ways because I want to hear from heaven for your life. I'm going to forgive all your sin and I'm actually going to heal your land. Would you partner with me today? Could I just encourage us today? This theme, rule and reign, talking about the kingdom of God, there's probably never been more of an essential theme and topic for us as a church to journey on because the kingdom of God is not just something far away. It's actually right here and right now. And you can partake in being someone who lives with the kingdom of God in your life. But for me, it's actually really practical. For me, it's actually getting on my knees like they did with Solomon in the temple and actually getting before the face of God and saying, there's so many things I could sing when I worship, but I'm going to just choose to say, you're good and your love endures all things. And whether you're here today and you're like, Charlton, that's so easy to say, I'm on a mountaintop. Or maybe you might say, hey, Charlton, that sounds so cool, but I'm in such a hard season right now. Can I just encourage you, in every season, you have the opportunity to seek the face of God. And the best news is he's never gonna let you down. Husbands, your wife is gonna let you down at times. I know the wives are like, how dare he? Wives, your husband is gonna let you down at times. But our God will never, never let you down. He'll never make a mistake about things he says towards you. He'll never react in a way that's unjust. And we have this great privilege. Actually, can we just stand to our feet right here, right now? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that this is your house. This is your dwelling place. This is your tabernacle today. And I just feel people's hearts. You're just stirring. There's almost like, I almost sense this like renewing of romance, almost like, and hear my heart today when I say this. It's like this. You're coming back to your first love. I sense people today, I didn't know this was going to take place, but I just sense it right now in the spirit that's here. There's an anointing for people today to come back to your first love with God. And it's almost like he's wooing your heart again, saying, hey, I never forgot you. I've never left your side. I've never stopped watching you. And so as the team lead us, we're about to sing, You're God, You're Good. Can I just encourage you right now? Let's apply 2 Chronicles 7 to our lives right now. And let's actually seek the face of God more than we ever have. So Lord God, we thank you that we don't even have to pray that you would come. We thank you that you are here with us. You are for us. El Shaddai, mighty, mighty King. We pray that right now as we start to worship you, I pray that our prayers lifted up and our worship lifted up would be such a sweet fragrance. And I pray right now, God, for a manifestation like we've never seen, God. Give us bigger dreams, bigger hopes that we wouldn't look back to the past. We wouldn't look back to how things need to be done. But God, we pray for an all-consuming fire to come fill this place and fill every single heart right now. Holy Spirit, we pray that you become King of our lives once again, that as we walk out of this church today, built, edified, encouraged, Lord God, that we would be a beacon of light to people that are longing for truth, that you are in our hearts right now. So church, come on, you don't need words on a screen. Just start to lift up your praises to him. Tell him you love him today. Tell him you're thankful. Tell him you long to live with him all the days of your life. God, we praise you with every fiber of our being. We thank you that you are King of all kings. You are Lord of all lords. And we come to bring you our highest praise this morning. We come before you on our knees, mighty God. Would you inhabit the praises of your people as we long for more and more of you, God. We humble ourselves. We seek your face today, Lord God. Come and have your way is our prayer, God. We're not playing church. We're not just running through a service. But we want a move of your spirit that would breathe life, 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 Jesus. That's it. Sing it out, church. Oh, his love is so good. It's so good. You are God. That's it. Sing it out, church. That's it. Faith is rising. Faith is rising today. Come on, we sing. Press in. Press in today.
You are God. You are good. You are God.
That's it. Lift your praises. Lift them high today.
So thankful for your love. Without your love, where would we be? Where would we stand today? I thank you, God, that your love is not circumstantial. It's not under a contract, under trying to bring behavior modification, but your love is for all men and all women, regardless of age, gender, race, sex. We thank you, God, that your love is infinite. It's higher than the mountaintops. It's deeper than the ocean's deep. It's more than our physical brains can fathom or comprehend, the magnitude of your love for us. And just with every eye closed, if you're here today, friend, I want to encourage, I want to give you an opportunity. Hey, the love of God is for you and I. It's for every single one of us. And whether you're here today and you would say, hey, Charden, I don't know if I'm a Christian. Like I once walked with Jesus, or I once maybe identified or called myself a Christian. But if I was to be honest, I don't know if Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I don't know if he actually is the King seated on the throne of my heart. that I actually would say I submit to His Lordship in my life, then friend, today I want to encourage you with no judgment. God is not mad at you. He's not disappointed with you. He's madly in love with you. And right now, as we're singing this song, your love endures forever. It's the truth, friend. It's the truth. His love for you will never end. It will never fail you. And so whether you've never made this decision before, maybe it's your first time in church, and you've never made a decision ever to become a Christian, I want to give you this opportunity. And even right now, the church, all of us in this room that would call ourselves Christians, madly in love with God, we're praying for you right now. We're praying on your behalf because we know the significance of this situation. We know the importance of the decision you're about to make. It's the greatest decision you will ever make, friend. This decision will radically change your life. When you choose to say, I lay down my life and I invite God into my heart. Today, friend, regardless of your age, your background, your financial situation, your race, your body shape, all of that's irrelevant right now. All that matters is that you accept Jesus. God loved you so much that He actually sent His Son Jesus to earth. This isn't a fairy tale. This actually took place. He sent Jesus to earth. And Jesus paid this horrific death. He died on a cross. He rose again 3 days later, all because of the love He has for you and I. All to set you free from sin, condemnation, shame, that you would be filled with the freedom and the liberty that comes with walking with Jesus Christ every single day. So just with every eye closed and every heart praying right now, I just want to give this opportunity. If you want to receive Jesus, this could be the first time you've ever done this. You might be going, wow, I've never done this. Just for a moment, just don't be scared. We're not going to put a spotlight on you or do anything weird or crazy. But what I am going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just right where you stand. And it's simply so that I can know who I'm about to pray for. Oh, thank you. I see that hand already. Oh, awesome. That's awesome. This might be the first time you've ever done this. You maybe have done this before and you're making a recommitment. You're saying, you know what? I'm sick of just kind of pretending to be Christian or walking kind of with God, but not for myself. Today, I'm putting a stake in the ground and I'm saying I choose to receive God as the Lord of my life. And I'm going to make this the last time I ever have to make this prayer again because it's a serious decision. Whether you're from the first to the last. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Awesome, bro. God sees your heart. That's amazing. Heaven celebrates right now with you. Is there anyone else? Just lift your hand up. And all you're simply saying is, God, I choose you. God, I open up my heart and I receive you to come be my Lord and my Savior. Amazing. Amazing. Awesome. Yep, I see your hand. That's amazing. Wow. Amazing. All right, church, just lift your eyes for a second. We're going to pray. Boy, this is significant. This is like amazing what's just taken place. We've got 3 new family members that are about to inherit the kingdom of God and become a part of the body of Christ to become our brothers and sisters, right? So we're going to pray right now for you 3. Is that okay? We as a church, we're going to pray for you because we believe when you open up your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. So right now, we thank you, God, for these 3 incredible sons and daughters. We thank you, God, that they are here in the right place and the right time in your house. And Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to pay the ultimate sacrifice that we may be right standing with you, that we may be your sons and your daughters. I thank you that right now you're forgiving every sin, every mistake. You're washing it as white as snow. And we thank you, God, that the old is gone right now. They're becoming a brand new creation. We thank you, Spirit of God, as they open up their heart and as they cry out to you, Spirit of God, come fill them right now. Holy Spirit, come fill their heart right now, that they are now spirit beings, no longer walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit as a Christian. In the name of Jesus, we all said amen and amen. Come on, let's celebrate, church. Woo! We got new family. We got new family members today. Wow. Okay, so what's just taken place is really significant. The Bible tells us that heaven celebrates, that the angels celebrate when one makes a decision to follow Jesus. And now we've got 3 new family members. Church and our fam, welcome to the family. Welcome to the best family you'll ever have. So cool. All right, so this is the thing. Just before we close, we're about to...